This is the Beer of the Day podcast.
From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. It's another exciting episode of the Beer of the Day podcast. We just started the show and the computer crashed and now we're starting it again. We're back in Elk Grove tonight. We've been out of town in various places the last couple of weeks. And we're back here with the local crew, and we did another beer draft where we each selected two beers out of the 104 beers that we have in the Beer of the Day vault, and we have six to try tonight. I'm Dallas Hellicker. Joining me tonight, Andy Hamilton, Steve Williamson. Hey, guys.
How's it going?
Hey.
Glad to be back.
It's great to be back. It's been a while for you, yeah, Andy?
Yeah, probably 6 weeks. I think it's been at least 6 weeks since I recorded a show.
Well, you sound better than ever.
I know.
And look better than ever.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
I don't know what it is, but it's working for you.
Special glow.
Before we get into the first beer, I wanted to quickly mention that as this podcast is being released on Thursday, July 28th, on Saturday, July 30th, we will be at the San Diego Beer and Music Festival from 6 to 10 p.m. at NTC Park in Liberty Station in San Diego. They're going to have 50 breweries there, over 100 craft beers. So any of our listeners that want to attend, please feel free to join us. We will be recording some audio for the podcast and trying out a lot of great craft beer. So hope to see some of you there. All right, so let's get into the first beer of the night. We just tried it, but we're going to try it again like we never had it before.
I will say, luckily, it had a little bit of time to breathe now.
This is the Buxom Blonde from Loomis Basin Brewing Company here in Loomis, California. Loomis is up by Roseville, kind of a suburb of Sacramento, a big suburb. A lot of people live up in Roseville, and Loomis is kind of on the outskirts of that.
It's the country part of Roseville.
And Andy, what was the bottled on date there on this guy?
5/31/2015.
So it's nice. It's a nice aged pilsner.
Yes, that's what you're supposed to do with pilsners, right?
Yeah. Age them. Yes,
age them.
Luckily, this one ages pretty well.
Yeah, it really. The notes that I took off of it is, It's a full-bodied pilsner. It's not watery. It's not light. It's easy drinking, but it definitely has its own taste. You know, you can tell that it's a special beer.
It is. It is a golden, typical golden pilsner color, a little cloudy, about one finger of head. On the aroma, you get some, I'd say, corn qualities.
I think the aroma is a little tough for me because I think it's skunked a little bit in the bottle. But
there was a little skunky aroma. It wasn't so apparent in the taste, which is good.
Right.
But there is definitely a little corniness. But that it's hard to tell if that's because it's a little skunked or if that's because it's a pilsner, you know?
On the flavor, I don't get much skunkiness. It's a pretty classic pilsner. A lot of flavor. Very flavor forward. You get those two-row malts up front. And it's pretty well balanced, very drinkable. I think you could drink this one on a hot summer day, and you couldn't go wrong here.
Yeah.
Andy's face would have just showed you all how drinkable it is as he finished his glass off.
As Dallas says, it's so drinkable, I'm making this, like, don't give me any more face.
No, it's not terrible. I think that in its prime, this would have been an even better beer, but
yeah,
it's
I agree.
Pretty solid.
On the label, it says always fresh. We are not doing this beer justice, but I am glad that we cleared it out of the Beer of the Day vault to make room for other newer beers. So sometimes one just doesn't fit a theme and it ends up staying in there longer than we would like. And there's a couple here tonight that we're going to do that will help with that situation. Andy, you just got back from Oregon, Portland.
Yeah.
You have any good beers up there? I'm assuming you did.
Yeah, we went to, you know, my buddy doesn't drink, so I only really had beers when I was out to dinner and things like that. But we did have, from Hop Valley, who we're going to see later on the show tonight, I had this one called Citrus Mistress.
Citrus Mistress.
Citrus Mistress.
I like that.
It's a grapefruit IPA. I thought it was amazing. It really was super light on the grapefruit. It's a grapefruit peel IPA. It's specifically the peel.
And which is the most bitter part of the grapefruit.
It is, and you could, that could ruin a beer, but it really, they did it right. Super enjoyable beer. I had it with a pizza. It was perfect.
Awesome. Sounds good. All right, let's move into the next beer. This is from Brooklyn Brewery in Brooklyn, New York. It's called East India Pale Ale. And this one is another one that's been in the fridge for a while. I can't vouch for how well it's held up over time, but hopefully it's good. We've had a couple beers from Brooklyn Brewery, and we've been impressed with every single one of them. And so this one, they kind of get off the hook on. If it's not good, it's probably because it was aged too long. But if it is good, then it's just another one in the lineup that they have that we've been impressed with.
What was that one we did last year? Old Number One or something like that.
Yeah,
that was a really good. I'm famous for not being a huge IPA hoppy guy, but that was great. So I'm excited to try this one.
Yeah. So Britton and Joel are not here tonight. They are in New York City for the weekend.
New York City.
And they went to the Giants game tonight in the Bronx, which is not too far away from Brooklyn here. And let's see what we have.
Still has a really nice smell to it. I mean, it doesn't smell very hoppy, so that might have definitely mellowed out.
Yeah, the hops would definitely mellow over time. Super clear. Dal's looking through his. It's one of the most like transparent beers I've seen.
Yeah, kind of a light copper color.
Yeah. There's a couple, I want to call them floaties, just particles, but they're
but pretty clear.
Very clear.
Head is slim, but sticking around for a while. It's not like dissipating super quickly. On the aroma?
I get that kind of dry fruit, raisin, currant kind of.
Yeah, I get a little bit of caramel malts too.
This is a pale ale, right? Is that what they're classifying it as?
Yeah, I guess so. It's, I don't know. I would call it an IPA.
It's 6.9%. That's pretty high for just what you call a pale ale, but it's called East India.
East India brand pale ale is what they call it.
Real interesting flavor. Almost reminds me of back that Stone green tea. But like this almost is like a black tea. It has like some dark tea kind of taste to it.
It's super, I mean, it's the epitome of what like an East Coast IPA tastes like. I don't know if that was intended or if that's just because the hops have, you know, faded away to nothing. But it's pretty malty, but it does have that tea note of, I don't want to call it a tea, I don't want to call it bitterness, but the tea bitterness, you know?
There's some fruit here too. I'm surprised at how fresh it tastes as old as it is.
Yeah.
It actually has kind of a fresh tasting, a little bit fruit flavor.
Yeah, a lot of really good flavors coming through on this. It's well bodied. It's complex for, especially for the age of it.
Yeah, it's kind of on the brighter spectrum. There's not a lot of bitterness here. It's very drinkable, low bitterness for a 6.9%. pale ale.
So you said fruit. What kind of fruit would you, because I was trying to answer that. I taste the same thing, but I can't pin it down.
I would say some type of melon, honeydew or something. I won't say watermelon.
Somewhere between like a honeydew and a cantaloupe, where it's not as sweet as a honeydew, but not as, I don't know, cantaloupe-y as a cantaloupe.
I get that, but I get almost kind of like green grapes that aren't overly sweet green grapes. Like they're kind of dried.
Yeah.
Like a raisin.
But not quite a raisin.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that range.
I think that's fair. As long as this beer has been sitting in the Beer of the Day vault, I think it turned out really well.
Yep, I agree.
You know, I wish personally that someone could figure out how to brew this exact style of beer. I want like a IPA that all the hops are out of. And I think like this totally works for me. I like this a lot.
Steve, all you need to do is buy all the IPAs and hang on to them
for a year and a half. I'm going to love them all. Yeah. I think this is really enjoyable.
I could drink this. Yeah. I'm shocked at how enjoyable this beer is.
I've not had a bad beer from Brooklyn Brewery. After the show, I'm going to text Brett and Angel and say, hey, while you're there, you got to go to the this brewery and check it out. And let's get into the beer news of the day. All right, I'll start with the most boring story of the day. The
one everybody's already heard.
Right.
Right. The authorities have just approved the merger of AB InBev Anheuser-Busch and SAB Miller. The two largest beer companies in the world are now able to merge forces in the United States. However, they did put some pretty strict conditions on the merger. And those conditions being that they have to spin off all of its Miller Coors holdings in the United States, which includes Miller and Coors held brands. And so basically, AB InBev gets all of the other brands from Miller and Coors.
Right.
Miller Coors.
Except for Miller and Coors.
Except Miller and Coors, which is a lot.
Yes.
But basically, the new company, AB InBev, will control 29% of the world's beer supply.
Wow.
And generate an approximate $64 billion in annual revenue.
It's nuts.
That's pretty crazy. I do think that it was fair in their... I mean, obviously, these companies want to get bigger and merge and, you know, do their thing, but it's good that they kind of laid down the law and said, okay, you can have Miller and Bud Weiser and Coors in the same company. You got to spin those off and
right.
let them do their own thing. So
what was the percentage you said that they're going to own?
29%.
I mean, that's a big number, but I think if you really consider over the last 10 years all the craft breweries that opened up, I think without those it would have been a huge number. Like, I mean, I just feel like the market is
I think you're only talking about like a 1% difference.
You think so? Honestly. 1%?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's bigger.
Because craft brewery beer in America is huge, but in the world, that's 29% in the world.
True.
And a lot of countries, the biggest drinking countries, China being one of them,
yeah.
craft beer means nothing.
So this author wrote this article talking about craft beer names and how they, I like the opening line, it says, unlike the supply of baby names, which was replenished whenever a celebrity couple names their kid after a direction or a piece of fruit, the number of beer names is more finite.
So they're talking about Northwest.
Right.
And Apple
and you know, the
yeah.
crazy, Apple, crazy names that now.
What's her name?
Oh, and all the you know, Game of Thrones names. Everyone wants to name their kids now.
Yeah.
Beer companies can't really do that because they all need to talk about what kind of beer they are. So, you know, she goes on to say, the author, that, you know, some of these beer names are absolutely atrocious now. They range from sexist, such as Midnight Sun's Panty Peeler, to the Dallas Blonde from Deep Ellum, and on the bottle says it goes down easy. you know, to bad puns such as from Alesmith, Java the Nut, or Oscar Blues, Mama Little Yellow Pills,
Little Yellow Pills,
and you know, newfangled. Some beer names are just coming up like they're not even trying anymore. So she says, I've never heard of this one, but Treehouse's Julius, you know, so the point of it is that I think part of the marketing outlay is that if you come up with a really good craft beer name,
right.
people are going to know that and they're going to buy it for the name of the beer. And I really think that's true because a lot of times we'll be at the store and say, oh, that's a great name. You know,
yeah.
We talked about it on the with Filthy Phil.
Yeah.
And, you know, definitely the name of the beer will pique our interest.
We're also running out of names, you know, like. Right. It's hard to come up with a good name now.
No, I mean, a lot of places come up with a name and then they have to
change it
because somebody else already came up with it.
And with almost, you know, 5,000 craft breweries now, all naming 12 different beers they're making, there's going to be some repetitiveness.
Yeah.
So here's a quick little news article. Beer bottles will soon include a reality check. And that reality check is a calorie count. So
why?
Yeah, I don't get it either. So
I love it.
A 12-ounce bottle of Stella Artois contains 150 calories, whereas a bottle of Budweiser Select only 120. So the Beer Institute, it's a trade group of some of the biggest brewing names, Anheuser-Busch, Miller Coors, and Heineken, amongst others, have announced that they're, you know, they want to be involved with this initiative and be more transparent about their product. You know, personally, I think that those companies, you know, they control most of the light beer category, and they're, you know, they're promoting something that's good for their brand versus really trying to help people.
I think on the flip side, though, we could turn this into a whole new beer drinking game. Like, who can drink the most calories in a night?
Right.
You know,
I'll nominate myself for that competition.
Yeah.
That's the problem is that, so 120 calories for a Bud Light, 90 calories for a Miller Lite, 88 calories for a Michelob Ultra. You know, they're all trying to go for the low calorie game.
That's their marketing.
You get a Sierra Nevada Torpedo, 240, yeah. 250. They're, you know, you drink six of those and they're, you're done for the day, man. That's, yeah. Just, that's all you get. So it really gets high with the craft beer. So we're going to see if craft beer follows suit. It could be end up being a thing where everybody has to put their calories on the bottle, which I think more information for people is better.
Yeah.
But like the story said, ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, I don't think it's really going to matter. There's been calorie counts on food now for 30 years.
I'm not eating any healthier.
And yeah, nobody's really changed their way.
Yeah, when you're looking at the menu at the restaurant and it says 2,000 calories, you're like,
that bloomin' onion sounds pretty good.
Oh, man. All right, we got one more before the break. This is from Eugene, Oregon, Hop Valley Brewery. This is the Alphadelic IPA. And this is a brewery that has been appearing more and more in our stores here in Northern California and up and coming. And so this is the one that I see on the shelves a lot.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I didn't even realize this was the same brewery as the Citrus Mistress until I looked at the picture of the bottle.
That's a good name.
That is a good name.
Great name. They have this one. I think Alpha Delic's a great name, and Alpha Centauri is a great name. So,
color-wise, it's kind of a cloudy golden color, dark golden color, about two fingers of white head.
You can tell none of the hops faded in this one, huh?
It smells so good, Del.
The lacing, this thing, it just sticks to the side of the glass like you wouldn't believe. Look at that.
This is going to be Steve's favorite beer.
So looking forward to this.
It's a sticky hop aroma.
Yeah, it's fresh, like sticky fresh.
It's resinous.
Yeah, it is.
It smells like you're running through a field on a warm summer day.
This is excellent beer. This is one of those beers where when you see a 12-ounce can of beer and you think, oh, I might have paid $7 or $8 for that. It seems kind of ridiculous, right? But then when you have this and it's like eating fine dining where it's just so much better than the other thing. It's just a great beer.
I got to say, it's not bad. It's not bad at all. It's a little bit sweeter than I expected.
Yeah, but there's definitely some like grassy notes.
Yeah, there is.
There's bready malt. It's a very bready beer with in conjunction with a lot of grassy hops.
It reminds me of, in a good way, it reminds me of drinking the wheatgrass shot from Jamba Juice.
But it's very fresh, very tasting.
Yeah, I can see that though. Kind of a little bit, a little grassy.
Yeah.
I think that the smell was really hoppy, but I don't get that in the taste as much. I mean, it tastes hoppy.
It's pretty bitter. Like, it's got some a nice bitter finish, but it's, if you're an IPA fan, you'll enjoy this beer 100%.
Yeah, this is quite a good IPA. I mean, we kind of come to expect that from beers from Oregon. They have such a good hop supply up there where you kind of get spoiled by every IPA you have is good, but this is no exception. Yeah. This is quite good.
Yeah, I give it two thumbs up. Saying a lot.
Not three.
I only have two.
From a guy that doesn't like IPAs,
yeah,
that's saying something. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we have a strange brew from Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. And hopefully none of us are allergic to mango. Plus, an IPA from Dogfish Head and one we've been saving for a while from Full Sail, their Reserve 2015. All right, if you enjoyed this podcast and want to help us out, one of the best ways you can do that is by telling your beer drinking friends about us. Obviously, we're a podcast that's been around here for a year, but we're always trying to look for new listeners. And if you have friends that like craft beer, tell them about it. Show them how to download the podcast app on their phone and subscribe to us, and that will help us. You can also rate and review us on iTunes, and that helps us move up in the rankings, and then people can find us easier there as well. If you want to help us financially, you can do so by shopping on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website. All you have to do is go to beeroftheday.com. On the right-hand side, there's a little banner that says Shop on Amazon. You click that, do your shopping through that link, and then we receive a little bit of commission on that. Tons of people have been shopping on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website. We had people that bought 3D fiber lash mascara.
Oh, yeah.
Music from Game of Thrones. Seasons 3, 4, 5, and 6. They bought the soundtracks on Amazon Music.
Don't they only play one song?
No, it's music from the whole series. All kinds of stuff people bought on here. A lot of dog stuff. People that have dogs love to buy stuff through the Beer of the Day website. 15 by 20 inch super large original pet one flap dog door with telescoping frame.
That's a lot of words.
Big ticket item, doggy door.
Yeah.
They paid $75 for it. We made $450 here on the Beer of the Day podcast. So you're shopping through our website helps us keep the lights on here, and we really appreciate it. Welcome back to the Beer of the Day podcast. This is a segment that most people that have listened to this show before are familiar with. It's a strange brew that we find in our fridge in the case of tonight, where it's a kind of a beer draft where we each pick two. This was one I picked so that we could have this segment. This is from Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Mango Magnifico. 10% beer. It's always interesting to see how much mango they put into the mix here.
Do you guys think this is Chris Kattan's favorite beer?
Such as mango.
I don't get mango on the nose. Like none
what,
of it. Like,
what do you get, Steven?
I get fruit, at least. Sweet fruit.
I get like a champagne-y, like a white wine smell.
I get a little mango.
Andy cheated. He looked on the bottle.
I looked at the bottle and something surprised me.
There's something weird going on with
this. There is something weird, and I wanted to see if you guys pick it up. I don't know if I would catch it if I didn't know it was there.
Color-wise,
the aroma.
It's another golden color beer. Pretty dark. Pretty clear. A haziness, but not cloudy. Two fingers of Whitehead.
I shouldn't have tasted it because I was going to tell you what I thought it smelled like. And when I tasted it, it completely confirmed that, like 100% confirmed it.
Wait, I want Dallas to taste it before you spill the beans.
I know it's not in the beer, but this is what I taste and smell.
Okay.
Yeah, it's awesome. Someone took packages of old Pez candy and smash it up into pieces and put it in this beer.
That's not at all what it is.
There's some pepper in here.
Yes.
It's Pez.
No, there's pepper.
There's some pepper.
There's a little bit of heat, yeah.
Is it finished?
Not that much, though.
Oh.
Apparently for Dow that he got a big
No
case
one
of
told
it.
Me this. It says Mango Magnifico. I'm thinking this is going to be Magnificent Mango in my translation. Mm-mm.
What does it say? What kind of pepper?
Habanero. So it says mango ale with a hint of habanero, and it says malt beverage fermented with mango and habanero. So the first thing I smelled in the aroma was the pepper, like just the smell of pepper. And then the taste, though, you get that hit of like the, I don't know if I call it Pez candy-like, but it was candy-like mango, and then the heat from the pepper just comes through. I wouldn't call it hot, but there's definitely like the kind of thing that would give you serious heartburn.
Yeah, it kind of tastes like acid reflux a little bit.
As someone who suffers from serious heartburn every day of my life, this is not the beer for me.
Although I think the flavor, though, I like the alcohol content is not mellowed down at all, and I think that's why they ramped it up to 10%, because it is so sweet to me, like almost unbearably sweet. But then having that pepper in there, I think it does balance it a little bit.
It is sweet, but the pepper ruins
it
for me.
They have both poured out their beer.
I don't think Dallas has ever poured out a beer on the show, ever. Ever. And that was, he took one sip of that and then he was done.
I couldn't drink a glass of this, but I don't think it's horrible, though.
I think if I had been warned, I could have taken a smaller sip, but I took a big ass sip of that and I paid the price.
I was waiting for, that's why, so right before we came back from commercial, Dal's like, because I looked at the bottle, I'm like, oh, damn. And he's like, what'd you find? I was like, no, we'll get on the show. I wanted that reaction from Dallas.
You set us up pretty good with that one.
You got it. All right, let's get into another good beer. This is from Dogfish Head Brewery, one of our favorites, from Milton, Delaware. This is their Squall IPA, 9%, and it comes in the big bottle. I've had so many Dogfish Head IPAs. Every one of them is different, I would say. So I'm looking forward to trying this one.
There's been a theme so far tonight on our beers, unexpectedly. They've all poured very clear and very light pours and the color.
Yeah.
This is a little more cloudy, though.
Yeah, a little more cloudy on this
one. A little more orange colored. It's like a very light orange color.
I know that's all going to change in our next beer.
We have a pretty good thick white head on it. Aroma-wise, I just get kind of a simple, slight hop aroma. Nothing too out of bounds.
Is this an older one?
No, this is very new.
Oh, it's a 2016 limited release Squall IPA. It doesn't have any other description on the bottle. So I kind of like that. I do like when a beer lets you figure it out.
I don't know if it's because it's called Squall or not, but the aroma I get is kind of like an oceany seawater. Yeah, like a...
There is a freshness to it. I do see, like, if you had a fruit tray out and you were to smell it, that's what it would smell like.
Yeah.
It's not overly bearing, you know, overbearing or anything like that. It's just fruit.
That's it.
I might need a little refill because that Mango Magnifico is, my throat is kind of getting hotter and hotter. I need to wash some of that down. It's catching up to me.
Wow.
That was the worst beer. I don't know. There was no redeeming quality.
Wait, don't ruin what you're picking at the end.
It's not my worst beer of the day. So I just had my first sip, actually.
It's very reserved. It's fruity. It's not like bitter at all. It's the tamest Dogfish Head IPA I've ever had.
9%. You would be screwed.
Yeah, agreed.
You could drink this.
Are you sure this is 9%?
You could drink this so fast.
Does the bottle say 9%?
It says 9%.
It's fantastic.
It is.
Yeah, wow. This could be a session. But I think you're right, though. I mean, it is. It's just so smooth and tame. I mean, it's hard to pick flavor out of it. It's an incredibly easy drinker. I mean,
it's not a malty beer. It's not nearly as malty as 90 minute, 60 minute, 61 minute, 120, any of those. It's like less malty than those, and the hop character is very mild. It's not super hoppy. There's no like pine or
there's some of the like tropical
hops that there is. It's more of a fruity beer, but it's,
I can see there being some like mosaic in here. They need a bottle of this. It's a beer they need a bottle in six packs and sell, you know, mass production, because this is awesome.
This would be so awesome on like a rafting trip, and you know, you have it in your cooler going down the river with you.
And ends in a story of they were drinking on a rafting trip. 5 left, 4 came back. Is there a saltiness to it? Like, I almost hate the name of the beer because it's either trying to lead you there or it's really there.
I think it's there. I mean, the aroma, the taste, the characteristic, it's just like fresh ocean water. Just, you know, this huge mist of ocean water just came up and hit you in the face. And
watch out for that.
Yeah.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
I
kind of a slow week in comments on Beer of the Day. We want to read your comments on this show, so don't be shy. Post your comments on the Beer of the Day website, right under the podcast section, or on any single beer that we feature on the site. There's a comment section right below. You type them in there, and we'll read them here on this show. We also post the Beer of the Day every single day to Facebook. Facebook.com/TheBeerOfTheDay, and you can like us on Facebook. We have 9,700 people liking this on Facebook.
Right.
Number 10,000, we're going to send a Beer of the Day pint glass straight to you, straight to your mailbox. So invite your friends, share our posts. We want to get to 10,000 as quickly as possible. And like I said, we post the Beer of the Day to Facebook every day. You can post your comments on there. You can post them on Twitter, at Beer of the Day. You can post it on Instagram, at Beer of the Day site. So we're all over social media. So this week, on the website, last year, I took some pictures of Leinen Kugel's Summer Shandy and posted those on the website. And
as a joke.
It's a summer beer. There's nothing wrong with it. It's very light and drinkable.
Yep.
It serves a purpose.
Steve Zubar posted, "This is not a beer." And then John James 312 posted, "Great beer. I give it a 5 rating." I don't know if he was being sarcastic.
I don't think so.
So, I mean, hey, there's a beer for everyone.
That's the great thing about beer, is that there really is a beer for everyone, and everyone has a different taste. Some people are going to love a light beer. Some people are going to love a hoppy beer. And that's just, that's the perfect summary right there.
That's true. And last week on the podcast, we featured a beer from the brewery called Mocha Wednesday. It was something like 19.6%. I had a tough time drinking it.
That's insane.
It is insane, but we feature that on the website this Wednesday. Gary Crawley, "Sounds very tasty. Now the flip side of it, of this, is that 19.4%. I guess we need to find it and try it. Maybe Wobbs might carry it." What's Wobbs?
Some store, probably. Is it Walmart?
I don't know. Brandon Solberg, "This is an amazing brew. Patty Robert Salmonego, get one for me, kid." Talking to her friend. So it moved the needle. More comments than normal. I mean, we would like comments on every beer that we post there, but it was good that Mocha Wednesday got a few.
We should just post it every Wednesday.
On our last show, we did an Orange County show. Jeff and I and our friend Kevin did a show on Orange County beers. Chris Underwood, "Noble Ale Works is the shit." I agree. That was the Beer of the Day today. We record this on Saturday night, and I Love LA from Noble Ale Works was the Beer of the Day today, and I love that beer. I can't wait to try more of it. Bart Burlington, "Visit Absolution, South Bay Brewery, Laguna Brewer." All right, we'll do that. Maynard Everett, "I'll take two of those right now." Joshua David Snyder, "Someone send me some Parajava from Firestone Walker."
Parabajava?
Parabola, I'm assuming he's talking about.
No, there's a Parabajava.
Parabajava.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like a
parabola, but coffee.
I think it's a coffee parabola.
And he says, "Anselm Lagunitas. That guy needs some beer." So we thank you for all the comments. Remember, send some comments to us, and we'll read them on our next show.
And someone send Joshua David Snyder some beer. He's thirsty.
Very thirsty. All right, let's get into the final beer of the day. This is the Brewmaster Reserve 2015 from Full Sail Brewing, Hood River, Oregon.
Definitely following along with our very light-colored beer theme here.
Yeah.
Now, this is as dark as coffee. 2015. We've been saving this one for a while, and I've been looking forward to trying it.
Man, that smells good.
This beer is dark.
It is dark, dark brown. I'm not saying it's black. I'm saying it's dark brown.
I'm saying it might be black.
The head is dark tan colored.
Yeah, brown.
Bordering on brown.
It's a dark shade of tan.
Maybe like a dark khaki.
Oh, off the rails. I didn't even know we had this beer in the fridge.
Describe the smell. It smells so sweet.
Brown
and
sugar, like a Tootsie Roll.
Tootsie Roll, brown sugar.
If you, melted
sweetness,
a Tootsie Roll.
Though, it's so sweet smelling.
If you melted Tootsie Roll and you just had that like cooking in your kitchen.
I get like a peanut brittle, kind of like a peanut brittle smell.
I don't taste any peanut.
I get some nut characteristics.
Yeah, I do. That's a good call.
Toffee.
Yeah, maybe toffee. Toffee and coffee combined.
Yes.
Toffee and coffee.
Coffee. I'm looking forward to this, and I'm not looking forward to this because it's 100 degrees today, 104, and this is a bourbon barrel aged imperial stout. This is not what I do.
You know what, though, it is. I mean, I think once you try it, you'll be pleasantly surprised. It's very smoothed out. I think very well done. I mean, it doesn't taste heavy.
Yeah, it is 10.5%, and I would call that like the low end of this style, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yes.
So it is pretty mellow.
I'd say I get the dark roasted malts. I'd say I get a little hint of molasses that sticks to your tongue and gives you that sweetness that kind of lingers on a little bit. Maybe just a touch of mocha. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. A coffee or espresso, you know. A little bit of like dark chocolate. Not the bitterness, though. Maybe not that dark.
It is a little bit bitter, though. Like, I mean, just very slightly in there.
There's some bitterness.
Yeah, but I wouldn't call it a chocolate stout. Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little touch of caramel.
That's a pretty awesome beer.
It honestly leaves me wanting a little bit more body. It is maybe just a little bit light for me in terms of like the
I would feel. Agree. I would agree with that. I would call it, quote unquote, a sessionable bourbon barrel aged imperial stout. Like
10.5% alcohol.
It's drinkable. This is one of these
is it bourbon barrel aged?
It is. Okay. Where I could drink this whole bottle if I opened it in the night. I would sit and watch TV and drink it.
And you'd feel happy at the end of it?
Most of these style, I couldn't. I would want to share it with somebody because it's just too much. This is very enjoyable, super easy to drink, but it has a lot of character. I mean, it's a little light, but it still has a lot of character.
Yeah, it does.
I'm staring across the room right now at the brewery Salty BBLS, which we did on the show last 2 weeks ago from Jeff's house, our previous episode. That was 16.4%. I had a tough time drinking. I would rather drink regular bourbon than that. This beer is the exact opposite of that. 6% less, mm-hmm. but 70% more drinkable.
Well, there's just enough of the bourbon taste in here where it's not no burn at all. But for people who like that, and that's what they're looking for in a bourbon arrow aged beer.
Very little.
You get the flavor, yeah.
It's weird because they do the bourbon barrel age and they get the bourbon barrels and there's bourbon left in them. And they don't always use it, so they don't really say, you know. You don't know how much of that bourbon was left in there. Probably not a lot.
A 10.5, probably not.
So there's none of that burn. There's not a lot of the flavor. They probably just use the barrels to mellow out the beer, which is really, I just love that style.
Plus, it's been aged for a year in our refrigerator.
Right.
And it just mellows it out even more.
I think we probably opened it at about the perfect time.
Yeah. But you could keep this for another 5 years probably and be all right.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to figure out what our favorite beer of the day is. Andy, you want to take us through the beers we've had? We can recap here.
Yeah. So we started off with the Buxom Blonde from Loomis Basin. Then we had the East India Pale Ale from Brooklyn Brewery. The Alpha Delic IPA from Hop Valley Brewing. Mango Magnifico from Founders Brewing Company. The Squall IPA from Dogfish Head. And Brewmaster Reserve 2015 Imperial Stout from Full Sail.
I'll spin the wheel here and see who's going to pick first. All right, it's me again for like the 10th week in a row.
Hello.
This is a tough decision. Because the East India Pale Ale, even being aged for a year for a beer that doesn't age well, I like the flavor on that. Alphadelic had a great Northwest IPA flavor, but I'm going to go with Squall IPA as my beer of the day. This one was just as smooth as can be. It is a great tasting flavor beer IPA for 9%, completely drinkable. Even people that don't like to drink IPAs, because it had very little bitterness, would be able to enjoy this beer. And that's the one that did it for me. I'm taking Squall IPA.
So, you know, I wanted to pick Squall, but I honestly wish that that beer was 6%, because it tastes so, it's so easy to drink. Tastes great. It would be a great six pack beer. I wish that's what it was instead of this 9% thing that, I mean, it goes down easy, but I can't drink that all the time. So with, because of that, I'm going to pick the Alphadelic IPA. If you want an IPA and you want to taste some grass and you get all those like super like earthy notes you get from some IPAs, this takes you back to that. And this one was so fresh. I really, really love that beer.
Well, I hope you guys are recording this. It's going to go down in history.
You're going to pick an IPA.
I hope we are too.
On a episode that had a blonde and an aged stout, my two favorite were the two that you guys picked already. The Squall was, if anything, I never thought I'd say this. I drank it and I wanted more hopping. Yeah. I wanted more of a bold flavor.
You wanted some Alphadelic.
So I'm going to go with the Alphadelic. It was incredibly good. Like Andy mentioned during that segment, you could tell it's very well crafted, extremely well crafted. And they did a great job making it Hop Valley. Great beer.
Nobody picked the Mango Magnifico?
Shockingly.
Else? No?
All right, that's going to close it out for tonight. I think we did a pretty good job here, and even more importantly, we got to clear out six more spots for new beers in the Beer of the Day vault, and we'll have a lot more beers to try coming up in the future. Events coming up next weekend. We are recording this on the 23rd. 1 week from today is the 30th.
Yeah.
And we're going to be down in San Diego at the San Diego Beer and Music Festival from 6 to 10 p.m. in San Diego. They got 50 different breweries, 100 different craft beers there, and we're going to be trying as many as we can. We'll record some audio there. If anyone is in the San Diego area and wants to come out, they are welcome to join us. All right, we're going to get out of here. We'll see you next time. For Andy Hamilton, Steve Williamson, I'm Dallas Hilliker. We'll see you next time here on the Beard of the Day podcast.